You're probably the second most popular person on the Coastal Island, you know? As in the second most appeared.
Second most appeared. Yeah, I don't know about most viewed, but most appeared for sure. Possibly, other than Taylor's probably been on more than me, right?
I imagine Taylor's number one,
Was Silverette ever on the lounge?
Oh, he's been on two. Was there
I thought it was only once.
No, he's been on his own one, and he joined us for the Christmas one.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Forgot about the Christmas one.
Can't forget about the Christmas one. Madness. Man, we haven't live streamed in ages. That's something we need to do. Anyway, this isn't a live stream. This is a podcast. And hello to everyone listening. I'm going to break the fourth wall.
I think you're allowed to do that in podcasting. You're allowed to say that people are listening, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've done it before. We'll do it again. So he just finds it awkward.
I don't know. It's saying hello that's awkward.
Hello.
You know?
Because
there's no one there to say hello to.
Well, we're saying hello to each other, but then that also extends to the audience. Yeah.
It's a weird one.
Do you want to start, Zoe, with what we always start with?
Oh, yes. Okay, so we have a question that everybody gets at the start. If you had free reign to create any coaster type with any theme, what would it be?
Oh, wow.
It's a tough one.
I've listened to enough of the episodes, I should have remembered that was going to be the first question and thought about my answer. But I would say I would go for probably the longest roller coaster in the world, I think. That's always something I would go for, but I would probably do it like a wooded terrain coaster, like find a really hilly area and then just build a wooden roller coaster that's like 10,000 feet long.
That's cool.
Out in the middle of nowhere, so you could just get awesome night rides on it.
Any particular manufacturer or any kind of style?
Oh, man. I would do as if it was a CCI remade by GCI, you know how they did it with Ghost Rider?
Yes, yeah.
Because I really like CCI's layouts because they're kind of smooth and graceful. And but I like GCI's trains and track a lot. And I think they're a really solid combination. As much fun as most of the GCIs are, a lot of them are just very focused on high speed and short hills. And I think it would be really cool to stretch it out. And just have really big kind of swooping elements.
Yeah.
That sounds cool.
That's the dream. I don't know what the theme would be.
go with the classic wood theme, which is more wood. That's the most, you know, like Colossus at Heidi Park and Wicker Man. They're themed to more wood. So
got a big sculpture in the middle of it that's made of wood as well.
Yeah, exactly. You can't go wrong with more wood.
Wow. There you go. Just have it be a tree-themed roller coaster. Might as well.
Yeah, Mystic Timbers, why not?
Oh, you're right. Oh, wow. Twisted Timbers. Oh, dang.
See, there's so many wooden coasters themed to wood.
Well, maybe the market's already too crowded. I might have to reconsider.
Yeah, this is true. You want that unique, you know?
I could just do a steel-themed wood coaster just to throw everyone off.
Yeah. Yeah, do the... Well, I was going to say do the opposite of what Disney did for... California Screaming, where they made a steel coaster look like a wooden coaster.
make a wooden coaster look like a steel coaster.
Yeah.
It just has super thin and tall supports.
Yeah, yeah. That'd be good. That'd be very strange, but I like that.
Catch people off guard.
Yeah, you would. Okay, so for all of those people out there that don't know who you are, even though you're a very popular guy, Robert.
Oh, thanks.
No, it's okay. Do you want to tell us or tell them about who you are, what you do, and all that kind of thing?
Got it. Well, I'm Robert, and my YouTube channel is 5 Mad Movie Makers. And for the past 9 years now, I've been making toy roller coaster videos on YouTube with Hot Wheels, tracks, marble roller coasters, Lego train tracks, and then I've also been doing some stop-motion animation. I went to film school out here in California, and I've just been doing YouTube and some freelance stuff ever since, but I'm also a big coaster enthusiast. That's kind of what got me started into the whole thing. And even playing Roller Coaster Tycoon as a kid, then I started building my own rides in our basement with just whatever toys we had laying around. But that's my story.
It's a pretty good story.
It is. And people might know you from a popular video of yours was the Thomas the Tank Engine stunts video.
That's true. Yeah, that was a big video. It's a year and a half ago now. But I forgot to mention that. Yeah, I did learn how to use the wooden railroad tracks as kind of a roller coaster, but more just like a skateboard stunt park for those wooden toy trains if you ever had those growing up. So that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and that video went everywhere. Like, everywhere.
I met a Disney Imagineer the other day who's working on the new Star Wars stuff at Disneyland, and he had seen that video. He had someone send it to him.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah.
So. I'm sure most people have, to be fair. So if you've seen that video, this is the guy. This Robert did it. So.
Yep, that's me. World. Filmed in my basement in Colorado on my iPhone. Surprisingly.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, you need that slow-mo, don't you, sir?
Top-notch video quality.
Yeah. So you say you're a big theme park coaster enthusiast. Can you remember how you originally got into coasters and theme parks and all that jazz?
Yeah, I mean, there was a point where I didn't know what roller coaster meant, but I was super into trains when I was a kid. I had like 5 birthdays in a row with Thomas the Tank Engine as the theme. But
dedicated fan.
No, I was super into the books and the TV show when I was younger. But then we went to Disneyland as a family, and like I didn't really know what an amusement park was. But this was like 1999. I was probably like 5 years old. And I was super excited because I loved like the map and like, oh, I could like walk to all these different places and kind of decide with my family where we wanted to go. And that was super cool. But I still didn't know what a roller coaster was. We did a couple of the different rides, you know, like Dumbo and Mr. Toad, just the standard kind of dark ride stuff. But then I saw the Thunder Mountain and I was like, oh, it's a train. Like I got to do the train ride, you know. I'm like,
true. Oh,
love trains, but I had no idea that it was a roller coaster. And I think I got on and I was so freaked out because it was moving way faster than anything should have been.
Yeah,
I'd never been in something that was trying to throw me out the side of it. You know, my dad said, "Hey, put your hands up; it's more fun." And I was like, "No, I was holding on to dear life." But I mean, I survived that. But what's funny is I still don't have like a. I didn't have a conscious awareness that that was a roller coaster until like years later.
Yeah.
I mean, I enjoyed Disneyland very much, and then I would try and like build my own little parks, but in the basement with our Legos and you know, wooden blocks. But I didn't realize what a roller coaster actually was. I think until I got Roller Coaster Tycoon for the PC, that was one of the big moments. But then we also had our dad, we were skiing once and we were going up at like a ski lift, and it did like right when it comes out of the station and it accelerates really fast onto the wire, and we were all kids and we were like, "Wee!" And he's like, "Oh, if you guys like that, we should do Cedar Point." And we did the next year in 2004, we went to Cedar Point, and like that is a true roller coaster park.
Yeah.
And that was crazy. And just seeing, I think, even so many years of roller coaster history packed into one park, you know, that the park's 100 years old. Some of the rides are from the 1960s that are still running. And that was pretty crazy. And then after that, we had a neighbor or a friend of some relatives in Arizona that was a big enthusiast and was a member of American Coaster Enthusiasts. And he sent us a whole box of magazines of back issues of Roller Coaster magazine and Ace News, and we just went nuts over that, and so just poured over that and tried to read as much as we could. And then we joined Ace, and then started wherever we took a vacation to try and sneak in a theme park visit.
Wow, classic symptoms of being a roller coaster nerd right there.
Roller coaster fever.
Yeah, exactly. You know, when you do start trying to sneak in theme parks into a normal holiday, that's when you know you've developed it, you know.
Yeah, I feel bad now because anytime anyone mentions any place that they're going, I'll be like, oh, you should check out, like if they're going to Dallas, I'll be like, check out Six Flags Over Texas while you're there. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
Like, you gotta.
I always think it's nice to kind of mix things up. on a visit, you know.
Yeah.
If you go somewhere to sightsee, going to a theme park is very different. So
yeah, it's, but you can obviously, like, overdo it. I mean, I've gone on vacations before. Like, I've been to Europe twice, and I think the second time we went, we did like every single day was a historical location, and like it was cool, but like for doing that like 7 days in a row of like,
exactly, yeah,
here's a big old building, you know, here's another big old building, it gets a little exhausting. And it's kind of fun to jump into some place that's current, and you might even run into people that are locals, you know, that you could learn things from, or it's just a different way to enjoy the environment. But at least it's something that's happening currently, as opposed to just being in a museum or something.
No, I definitely agree. Yeah, it's a good way to just mix it up.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, actually know where you're from. What's your, like, home park?
I'm from Denver, Colorado, originally. Okay. But that had Elitch Gardens and Lakeside Amusement Park. And I think when we were younger, everyone was like, oh, man, like, those are the parks, you know. And, I mean, they're pretty good. I think compared to most states that don't really have any parks at all, like the fact that we have two within the Denver area that are kind of competing with each other. But Lakeside is like super retro. Like it was built in the 1900s, and most of the rides are from the 50s and haven't been changed since. And like the roller coaster doesn't have lap bars.
Oh, really?
The Cyclone. Yeah. It's just like, seatbelts, and then you just hold on.
Oh, now that's classic, that is.
And a lot of the other rides are like that, where you just sit in, like the chipmunk, wild chipmunk, it's a wild mouse ride. I think it's a Miler coaster, but you just sit in it, and they say, hold on, and don't put your hands up, because like, if you did, you would hit the track above you, and there's no seatbelt, no lap bar. But that's kind of the fun of it, you know, is it's like, well, you have to make sure you watch out for yourself. But that was fun because it felt like you were in control. Like, Elitch Gardens was a Six Flags for a while, and just the operations there were not great. I mean, the rides were cool, but growing up, you eventually realize, like, oh, like, all of these rides are clones. Like, they're very popular models that are available just about anywhere else except for the big wooden one, the Twister. But then I am now currently living in California, where I think my home park is Knott's Berry Farm. I have a pass this year, but Disneyland is also, you know, not too far away. It's like 15 miles.
Nice.
Yeah.
So not bad at all. But I used to have a pass to Disneyland in college for 2 years, so I went a ton. But now I go maybe once a year.
Mm. Yeah, you can burn out too easily. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, after a while, it's more about the people you go with and just having fun with them and catching up. And but it also can be a lot about just observing how the theme park works and just the mechanics of the rides. And then like the theming, like one of the things that Disneyland does so well is each land feels like it's its own area, but somehow the way they design all, even the backs of the buildings on the other side are part of another land. And the way they have those transition areas between the themes is just really spectacular. There's always something new to observe, but yeah, for sure. It's like, after a point I was like, dang, like I'm spending a lot of time here. Like, I could save some money, by getting a Knott's pass instead.
This is very true. I imagine they're quite a difference in price.
Oh yeah. It's like $100 a year for Knott's, and it's like $600 a year for Disney.
Jeez. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Insane.
It's
that is a lot.
I mean, I like both parks so much, but you do have to like respect Knott's for the value. At least it hits that sweet spot where Magic Mountain, which is also, it's probably like an hour's drive, hour and a half drive away from me, but that's like all thrill, and Knott's is, or Disneyland's all theme and environment, and Knott's kind of hits that sweet spot in the middle where it's got a little bit of both.
What's the first coast you ever rode, if you can remember?
As far as I know, it was Big Thunder Mountain Railroad at Disneyland, but it might have been like a kiddie coaster at a park somewhere as well, like at one of those fairs, you know, that just someone sets up a little figure eight coaster. But I have no way to know for sure. Although some people count those alpine slides, you know, like the at a ski resort where you have the chute that goes down a mountain and you get on a sled.
Yeah.
Oh, right, yeah.
I don't count the the chutes. It has to be a track for me to count an alpine coaster, you know.
Got it. Yeah, I count it as an alpine coaster, but I still don't count it as a roller coaster because you, if you control the speed, it's yourself. It's not a true roller coaster.
You think?
Yeah, that's my argument. I'm pretty strict about
really. Wow, that is credits. Pretty strict. Yeah. Well, I guess. But what if you just don't use the brake?
You have to press down on the lever to go is the hard thing. And so
yes, this is true.
Yeah, if it relies on the operator, like if I didn't have to press the brake at all from beginning to end, like if I just hands off, just rode the roller coaster, then there's an argument to be made there. But the fact that me as a user has to control, you know, I have to control it, that invalidates it in my mind.
That's very interesting. Wow.
Do you want to hear my other controversial credit opinion?
Yeah,
is
go
that
for it.
The
go
Harley Quinn's Crazy Coaster is not a coaster?
I don't think that's entirely controversial.
Oh, okay. Well,
some people do. Yeah, it's some rides really do blur the line between, like, is it just a flat ride that's on a track, or is it a small coaster or what? You know, it's hard.
Right. I wrote up a big spreadsheet to try and like think about it more critically.
Wow.
And it is fun to think about and see the different arguments people have. But my argument against the Harley Quinn coaster is that it's technically a powered coaster, not just because it has tires on it. Because people say, oh, the train, the roller coaster train leaves the tires for, like, you know, it's 5 feet away from them at one point. So for that section, it's coasting for 5 feet or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But my argument is that it's two trains that are powered by each other. If you think about it, it'd be like if you took a normal roller coaster and ran like a string from or a cable from one car to the other.
Yeah.
Then that would kind of invalidate it in my mind.
Are both ends of the train not off the wheels at the same time?
No, they are off the wheels at the same time, which is an argument people make.
Yeah.
But it's like still the gravity that's pulling down the other train is affecting your train.
Yeah, I get you. I think I'm one of those people who would count it as a roller coaster just for the fact that it does coast for, you know, 5 feet.
Maybe. Yeah, I'm actually still kind of on the fence about it myself, because that Imagineer that I talked to, he said he thinks it's a coaster.
Yeah.
And he talked to the guy that does Roller Coaster Database, who also thinks that it's a coaster.
Yeah.
So I might be losing my case on that one.
Yeah. What about Mobius Loop coasters?
Well,
what are your thoughts on those?
Wait, just like a Larson Looper?
No. Like the Grand National at Blackpool, if you've heard of that.
Oh, where, like if it's a half credit or a full credit?
Yeah, it's one track, but two stations. And you leave one station and go into the other one.
Dang.
What do you count that as? One? Is it one credit for all of it, or is it one for each side? So two.
Both of us are just waiting for this answer.
I feel like if it's one continuous track, you'd have to say it's one altogether.
It's the wrong answer.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, darn.
It seems to be very divided in terms of...
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
I mean, it all depends on how the park runs it. I feel like if each section is a complete experience, but then the problem is, what if they start running it, or they just run it continuously through both, if it's like an exclusive ride time thing?
Yeah.
When does your ride experience start and stop?
Yeah. See, to me, the act of getting on and off is one credit, and to do both, you'd have to get off and on twice, because you only do half the layout in one go, if you know what I mean.
Huh, but what if you get evacuated off a ride, like you stop at the mid-block break?
Yeah, but if you get evac, it doesn't count.
So it doesn't count as a credit, but that's... still, I mean, it's not the way it was designed to go, but you'd have to say, yeah, okay, I guess if your experience from the beginning to the end of where the park says get in the coaster during normal operation and get out of the coaster during normal operation.
Yeah, exactly. That's my rules of...
Okay.
The thing.
I can see that. It's always hard. I was going back trying to count up my roller coaster credits and just remembering for racing coasters, like which side I'd actually been on.
Yes.
When I was a kid, like we went and did Racer at Kings Island. And now I went back and I did both, so I can say definitively I've done both. But like when I was younger, it's like, did I do the blue side or the red side or what?
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's always tricky. I only had two of the three steeplechase credits at Blackpool because each one is their own individual track.
Oh, right.
So there's three credits there.
Oh, dang.
But I forgot briefly which one I needed to do.
So you just have to go back and do all three just to make sure.
No, I figured it out at the end. So I do now have all three, fortunately.
You just remember the color or what?
Yeah, there's a color. Red, green, and yellow.
Oh, okay. Got
in
it.
In some order. I'm not sure what the order is.
Do they have all different type horses or are they all the same looking horses?
They're all different colors. Oh, that's the fun. Same model, like, you know, shape. But I think they're all different colors.
Got it.
Yeah.
Because if the park wanted to be really clear, they could do like different animals or something. Like here's like a unicorn on one track or like a...
It is called steeplechase though.
Oh, that's you true.
Unicorns would be better though.
That would be, yeah. It would be cool.
I hate steeplechase. It's actually a nightmare.
It looks like so much fun in all the pictures. I hear nothing but bad things about it, so that's not good.
It is fun. It's just very janky.
It's not fun. It's not fun. Oh, man.
Like, I'm still going to do it if I go, but how long would it take to do all three tracks? Is it a separate... Can you, like, go back around again within the station and do the next one?
No, but to get off and back on is, like, less than 60 seconds.
Oh, it's just a real quick loop around?
It's only a short queue.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
So if it was truly dead, you could just hop on.
You know why it's a short queue?
It's Blackpool, isn't it?
Because it's a horrendous ride. That's why.
They're all short queue lines at Blackpool.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
I mean, I had a picture book when I was a kid. It was like Amazing Structures, and it had a big printout of the big one at Blackpool. It was like this amazing painting. That actually might have been one of the other first things that I learned about roller coasters from. But that always seemed like the dream coaster. And then I hear from a lot of people that have done it that it's not necessarily. But it does have its defenders.
It does have its defenders. The problem with the big one is sometimes it's good. And most of the time, it's not.
Just depending on the speed it's running at or
depending
what?
Depending on the day, the train, the wheels, whatever.
Oh, wow. That's a lot of a lot of factors.
There's a lot of factors. Like, I've been on it, I think, about 8 times over the past two years, 3 years. And I've only had a good ride a quarter of the time.
Oh, dang.
So the odds aren't the best. But some people have had fantastic rides on it. Huh. Some people have horrendous rides on it.
Wow.
So...
Well, I guess the two Aero Hypers I've done is Magnum XL 200, which is my favorite roller coaster, and that's been fantastic every time. But then I did Desperado at Prim Valley in Nevada. I've done that probably about 6 times, maybe 5 or 6.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've had good rides on it, but then also just really uncomfortable rides on it. But I've had fun every time.
Yeah.
And like the Aero Hypers, I just really enjoy just for their scale and just the old, you know, track design. It's not quite computer generated smooth, you know, but that's almost the fun of it.
Is it?
You can never fully anticipate how exactly it's going to, you know, turn out. Like that's after true. You've done a certain number of B&M roller coasters or even RMC coasters, after a while, you can kind of anticipate, oh, it's going to feel really smooth and nice. But Aeros always surprise you.
They do. You say it's a good thing.
I think it's a good thing. Sure, yeah. But...
yeah. Go on.
Oh, I was just gonna say, riding backseat on Desperado is just one of the craziest things. With like a full train of people, and it's like 110 degrees outside, and it's like 75 degrees air conditioned inside, and just that transition.
Yeah.
Onto the roof is just blistering hot, but then you dive back into the tunnels at the end, and it's really flying when it comes into those breaks if you've got a full train of people.
On a hot day, yeah, with a full train.
Yeah, I actually had my phone fly out of my pocket the first time I rode it, and it landed in the seat next to me, and I had to, like, grab it with my hand, you know, because it was just that intense of airtime in the back seat, but...
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you now for free that the big one has no airtime.
Oh.
Even when it's running well, it has no airtime.
Oh, no.
If you're in the back, you might feel something on the first drop because the drop is just so jank and so weird
Yeah, it looks like, cool.
It is cool. That's by far the craziest part of the ride, but every other hill doesn't give air time. It doesn't give anything.
Oh, dang.
Except pain.
Yeah. This is it. It's just, when it runs smoothly, it's a fast coaster, and it's really enjoyable to get the views and feel the sense of speed. But when it doesn't run so well, it doesn't really have much going for it in the first place. So it kind of just ruins the whole sense of speed because you can't really enjoy it as much. That's the problem. I don't reckon it's going to be around for too much longer.
Oh, no. Dude, so, I have to get over there and ride it.
Yeah, if you're a big fan of the Arrow Hypers, then, you know, you might have to start planning.
That's true. I missed out on Titan in Japan. I was bummed about that. I mean, I didn't know when I'm going to get to Japan, but...
It's true.
Still, I was like, oh, man. I mean, wait, are there any others besides those four that I've named the Arrow Hypers? I hear the keyboard just clacking away.
Hypercoasters. Yeah.
I mean Arrow specifically.
Yeah, there's four. Titan Max, Magnum XL, Desperado, big one.
That's it. Okay, right.
According to RCDB, it's got Phantom's Revenge on here, but obviously that's...
Oh.
So-so.
I guess, yeah, because now it's half Morgan, but even when it opened, it wasn't technically over 200 feet tall, right?
Yeah.
Right.
But now it's mostly Morgan.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
Like, I think pretty much after the lift hill, I think it's just the station lift hill.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. 100%. Oh, I got to get there too. Dang. I have this growing list of theme parks.
Yeah,
places
to go.
Yeah. I'm glad at least still that I have a lot of places to go, because you do hear about people like once they've done every park in the United States and they're still living here, they're like, oh, I'm so sad. I don't have any new parks. So I'm kind of excited. I still have, you know, new parks to go check out.
Yeah.
But I always like visiting good classic parks too.
Yes. Yeah, of course.
But yeah, like Pennsylvania area is like one of the spots. Like I haven't done hardly any traveling to the northeast of the U.S. except for New York for like a day in February. And of course, there weren't any roller coasters running time. But
quite a few parks in the northeast.
Yeah, there's a ton. Like I think there was a site I was looking at that ranked each state by its coaster collection. And they ranked Pennsylvania number one just for how many classic parks are there.
Yeah. So you've spoken about your favorite ride, Magnum XL 200, favorite coaster even.
Oh yeah.
Is it also your favorite ride?
Yeah, I'd probably say so. I think it's just the most enjoyable experience. But there's a lot of other rides that I've been on that I really enjoy. I would say honorable mentions for rides that aren't roller coasters that I really liked is at Waterworld in Denver, which by the way is, I guess that's the third major park in Denver, but no roller coasters, but some really terrific water rides. It's one of the best water parks in the States. And like, if you only like roller coasters, but you don't do water parks, I think you're missing out. Cause there's some really good ones, but they have this ride called Voyage to the Center of the Earth, and it's, they can't call it Journey cause I guess.
Yeah. I got that.
It's copyrighted, but they have like these, it's like you take your raft up this hill and you're walking up for like, you know, 5 minutes. It feels like it's a mile, but you get in at the top and then it starts, you know, with all the water pouring in, but they have these big like excavation, like bulldozers and, construction equipment, with all this rock work everywhere. But then you go and the whole thing's in a tunnel the whole way down the hill. And then they have different dinosaur animatronics the whole way down. And sometimes they're working and sometimes they're not, but either way they have lights, they have music, and it's just super fun. It's like they hand poured the whole thing out of concrete. You know, have you ever done any of those slides where it's not a plastic or like a plexiglass? It's actually just like smoothed off concrete.
I don't know if I've done one, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, I think I've seen them, but I'm not sure I've done one either.
Yeah.
We're not big into water parks. Like, last time I went to a water park must have been 5 years ago.
So, thing is, it's so cold here that it's just like you don't really want to go outside, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
I'm all for water parks in hot countries, you know? If you go on holiday.
Or indoor ones.
Or indoor, yeah. Spain or something. Then it's nice to have a day at the water park.
Yeah.
You know?
I think if we were in America, we'd definitely go to them.
Mm.
But yeah, that sounds really cool, that ride.
Yeah, like you don't expect a water coaster, as it were, I guess, if you kind of class a water slide as that, to have animatronics in.
Yeah, That's strange. I definitely went on it a couple times as a kid when they weren't working, but they've done a pretty good job recently of having them working, and there's fog, too, that they have running. That was the best part, I think, is it was completely unexpected, and I haven't ever heard anything about it. But we would re-ride a lot, and they do a really good job on the ride. It takes you, like, 10 minutes to go down the thing because they have sections where it's kind of like a splashdown. I think there's at least three of them, and then that's inside a building. Like, you can kind of see the show building as you're going up the hill. But you come to a stop, and then you kind of stack there with, like, five other rafts, and there's, like, a dinosaur to look at. Jungle area. And then you get pushed over the little lip that kind of, you know, moves you on through the next section, and they have like a skeleton that you go through with black lights. And but one time we went, and this is not recommended, but we would just back up. We would just kind of hang on to the lip for as long as we could and see how many rafts we could get stacked up behind us. And one time we had like 10 or 15 rafts that we kind of formed like a train with, which is pretty hilarious. But
that does sound funny.
Yeah, I mean, the ride doesn't move too fast at any point, so I think you're pretty safe. But the lifeguards are all confused because we get to the bottom, and, you know, they're, like, unloading people at the bottom, and there's usually, like, you know, five or six rafts, and there were absolutely none when we came down to the bottom. And then all of a sudden, you know, 10 or 15 rafts just appear out, and they're like, what on earth?
Where did you say that? I need to watch a POV of this now, so after. But where is this? Voyage to the Center of the Earth.
It's Waterworld in... I mean, it's near in Denver area, but it's in a specific time. It might be like Lakewood in Denver.
All right. I'm sure I'll find it, but
yeah, I'm not sure.
Very cool. I have to look it up.
I'm not sure how good the video is because it's mostly in the dark. And I actually kind of liked it when it was more dark because now they have some more black lights, which is cool because you can see where you're going. But it's kind of fun when it's all like really shadowy. But yeah, that's probably up there in my favorite rides ever.
What about favorite parks? Is there one park for you that's the best of the best, or?
I think Cedar Point just for the roller coasters, but then I would say Busch Gardens Williamsburg for the environment. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that's best landscaped park I've been to. Disneyland for best theming. Mm. Yeah, that's probably the top three.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you got a solid choice there. I'd personally love to go to Busch Gardens just. Because it looks nice, you know, just looks nice.
Yeah, that's the great thing about that park is there's gardens, but there's, well, I guess it's in the name, gardens, but there's there's forests and trees, and it's all along the edge of this river, and it's filling up more and more with really big roller coasters, but they still do a great job of just, you know, making it feel like it's not just a concrete parking lot, because it's not, you know, and it's...
No, yeah, yeah.
Really terrific, and they keep adding really good rides to it. So I'm going to try and go back this year because I'll be out in North Carolina for a little bit in a month or two.
Sounds good.
Yeah, so looking forward to that very much. I do love Loch Ness Monster. It is one of those aero coasters that, yes, it can be uncomfortable. Yes, it can hurt, but I just think it's an amazing ride.
A classic.
Yeah, and like you sit in the back seat, and it's just you get thrown against that restraint. It's like you're going to...
I can imagine.
Like I feel like they didn't calculate when they built the ride. They just measured for the middle car and kind of went, yeah, that's good. But they didn't realize.
That's probably what they did, to be fair. Knowing Arrow, I wouldn't put it past them.
I mean, as much as I don't like over-the-shoulder restraints, still, when there's not like a lap bar or a seatbelt keeping you pinned in, you can really kind of fly up into it. It's under. But that tunnel is so much fun, too, where you go in the cave and you kind of loop around three times. I think they've put fog back in it now, which is great, too.
Ah.
So...
Gotta enjoy a bit of fog, a bit of smoke.
Yeah, such a great park. But I'm so sad. I'm still sad about Big Bad Wolf. You know, like, it's one of those things I should have gotten over by now. But I really enjoyed that ride when I was younger. And I should have said at the beginning that they need to build an Aero Suspended again, or just whatever company does suspended roller coasters where you hang below the track and swing.
Yeah.
Those are some of my favorite rides at parks I go to. I've been probably on four different ones, but there's only like six still running. And they're just too much fun, but I hear they're a maintenance nightmare, which is a bummer.
This is it.
We had a lot of people asking kind of like how you decided to start your channel, like what inspired you to start making your videos?
I mean, we used to have like the DV8 cameras when we were younger that recorded to tape. Well, first we had a VHS camera that recorded straight up to VHS tape, and then it was DV8. But even that, I didn't have editing software for when I was a kid. So you kind of had to learn how to plan your shots ahead of time and say, okay, where am I going to cut, or where what am I going to show next? And we would film the stuff that we built in our basement out of Hot Wheels and tracks. But then it wasn't until I got a editing software. It was like Windows Movie Maker, which is like level zero of video editing. Yeah. You know? But it's still something. It's like...
It does the job sometimes.
Yeah, I still like it infinitely better than iMovie, just because it's like you can actually do what you want with Windows Movie Maker. But it's like you could at least arrange the clips in the order that you wanted to, which was something you obviously couldn't do with tape. And then from there went to Pinnacle Studio and Final Cut Express, and now I'm using Adobe Premiere. But a lot of it is like I would build something, and then, you know, my mom's like, hey, we have people coming over. You can't have this giant marble track going through the house.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, we could take pictures of it, but that wasn't quite as good. So videotaping it was kind of a way to document it. And then, like, videotaping it made me feel a lot better about taking it down. It's like, okay, well, I have something I can look back on to show people what I made. Yeah. And when I was a kid, I wanted an iPod to, like, put videos on to show it to my friends and be like, here's the videos I made. And, like, I didn't think, like, you know, there's going to be this thing called the internet and mobile phones that you'll be able to share videos with anyone. So that's obviously been super awesome to just be able to make stuff on YouTube and then, you know, share the link with people or just have random people finding it through suggested videos. Yeah, that's probably the main goal, was kind of documenting it. But then also with the video, the fun part was putting the camera on the track so people can experience what it's like if they wanted to ride the toy roller coaster.
It's so cool.
It is very cool.
Thanks. I mean, that's not something that I came up with myself, but like, I feel like I've been able to push the quality of those type of videos a little higher is using a, you know, GoPro session camera. It's just like an inch and a half square, but it's films in HD, you know, and a lot of earlier cameras I'd seen where people would put on their toy trains or even on their Hot Wheels cars were just extremely low res. And it's like not even standard definition. And so it's been cool to actually finally get to a point where technology can let go HD and even in slow motion sometimes.
Mm. Very cool.
We had a few other questions that people sent in. Someone called Linton says, what is your favorite coaster theme tune?
Oh, coaster theme music?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Soundtrack.
Yeah.
I really like the Millennium Force station theme.
Oh, you're one of those people.
I love it ironically and unironically. Like, I know people have made memes out of it, of that whole like commercial with the voice where it's like there was something out there, you know, beyond sound, beyond sight at the turn of the millennium or whatever it
is. There were signs.
It's, I mean, it's so cheesy, but it's also so good. It gets you hyped up for the ride. But it's a bummer. I was really disappointed when I went one time to Cedar Point. They weren't running that sound. I mean, I figure it would drive the ride ops nuts because it's just a minute and a half loop. But
a minute. I couldn't imagine like being in a station with a minute and a half loop. That sounds like hell. Honestly.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I mean, I think I've talked to people like that in rides, and they're like, honestly, I don't even notice it anymore. Yeah. They're like, it's just like background noise, like a fan, you know?
Is it, yeah, you just tune out, wouldn't you? You just wouldn't be there.
Yeah, so it's...
Strange. Some of them wear, like, earplugs as well.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that yet, but that would be pretty entertaining.
It happens on... Some people on Nemesis, I'm pretty sure.
And the Smiler.
Yeah.
Which, they're not even that bad. Like, imagine if you're on, like, It's a Small World.
I know.
That is there even
music outside though?
Outside, out front of Small World, they have like the TikTok of like the big sort
Oh my gosh,
and they have like it's a kind of like a cuckoo clock where it goes off every 15 minutes or half an hour and does a little show, but it's not, the music's not outside it except for maybe some orchestra stuff, and it's only when you go inside it that you get the It's okay, a Small World
thank
song.
God.
That's good then, yeah.
I mean, they probably did that on purpose because it would drive everyone so mad.
Wasn't there a case where someone got stuck in that ride for 30 minutes, like a boat with passengers just got stuck, and one of them sued because they claimed like mental damages from listening to that song on repeat?
Oh my God.
I don't think they won, but...
You'd hope not.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that ride's fine. It's a fine ride, but I have to say, out of all the times I've gone with people, that's like the least of their priorities to get on that ride.
It's the least of my priorities.
Yeah.
It's top of mine. Top of mine.
Number one. Yeah, if someone says It's a Small World is their favorite ride ever, I don't know if you could trust that person.
No.
I definitely would not.
No.
I'll tell you that now.
I've heard there was some comedian that's like, that ride would be a lot more fun if they gave you a couple baseballs like before you went on. It'd be like one of those arcade games, you know, like skee ball, where you can just try and hit targets.
Oh, where you hit people.
That would be
oh
good.
My gosh.
I'd like that.
That would be, it's still like a nice, it's an impressive ride. Like that they have all the little puppets are moving and everything. And they've added more detail to the Disneyland one over years. So it's actually, they have some new stuff to look at, which is nice. So I'm not going to dig it too much or rag on it, I guess.
Somebody says, what's the best themed roller coaster?
It's a bit vague.
Oh. It is a bit vague.
Well, this goes back to the theming versus non-theming discussion. And I was thinking about this argument where people talk about coasters like they're themed or not themed. And I realize, like they say, like, you know, the roller coasters at Cedar Point aren't themed and the ones at Disneyland are. But I feel like you should look at it like the way people look at movies, because there's like animated movies and then there's live action movies, and then there's like movies that are filmed on location. So it's like you either make it in the studio or you make it on location. I feel like roller coasters are the same way, where you have rides that are all within a contained environment, like Thunder Mountain, where every inch of theming is built, is planned, is themed, is constructed. And then you have roller coasters at Cedar Point, like Millennium Force or Magnum, that are not themed, like they haven't built stuff around the ride to look at, but it's still in a very pleasing environment. So it's almost like an on-location roller coaster.
That's interesting.
So I feel like there's an argument to be made of just like what coaster has the most pleasing environment. And there's something about a roller coaster that's on location, if it's in a good location, like the Beast at Kings Island, that it's in the middle of the woods, you know, in the middle of nowhere, that you get a lot of things that won't necessarily happen in a themed ride. Like every time you do a themed ride, you're going to have pretty much the same experience. I mean, you still might see the time of day if you have sections that are outside, but on like the Beast, it's like if you ride it during the day, it's completely different at night, but you like feel the cool wind of the forest. Like when you dive into the valley, it gets way colder. And, I mean, it's such a pleasing environment to move at that high of a speed through the woods, that even though that ride's not themed, it's like it has one of the best environments overall. Yeah. So I feel like that, yeah, the Beast probably has my favorite environment of a non-themed roller coaster, but I'm going to start saying on-location roller coaster because I don't really like saying not themed.
Yeah.
And there's something, you know, authentic about it too, where it's like they didn't try to make it something that it's not, as opposed to like California Screaming, where they're like, oh, we themed it to a roller coaster. And you're like, it already is.
I don't like that. You know, Disney's lazy sometimes.
Well, they've just changed it. I guess it's Incredicoaster now.
And, yeah, but that looks even lazier.
I have not ridden it. I just did for the first time the Guardians redo of Tower of Terror in California Adventure. And I was a big Tower of Terror fan. That was probably one of my favorite. It was my favorite drop tower ever, for sure. But I'm glad that so much of the original ride is still there. You know, like the skeleton of the ride is still there. And it's a lot of fun with the music that they play on it now, and the video effects are very good, and the theming's very good. And the line was just jam-packed. But I still miss the old ride, just because I like that environment so much.
Yeah, well, but, to be fair, I've heard good things, and it does look like they've done a good job with changing it, you know.
Yeah, like people thought they're just going to slap something on. It's like, no, they really went through and just added as much, you know, detail and theming and kind of rewritability as they possibly could. And like they have all these LEDs in the queue now where they have like power surges. Like they used to have power surges where the lights would flicker, but now they have like this wire that electricity flows along and like sizzles and cracks. And they have these like scanners that people have to put their hands up and the lights, you know, flash so it looks like they're scanning everyone.
It's cool.
A lot of fun. And the rocket animatronic is really incredible in the waiting room.
Yeah, I've seen it. It looks insane.
Yeah.
It looks insane.
It's probably the best animatronic I've seen in person, but I'm sure that's going to change if I do Star Wars Land or whatever's coming up soon.
Yeah, or even Pandora.
Right, right. That looks crazy.
It does.
But it's funny, like, I do wonder if the closer they get to making animatronics more human-like, like, the weirder they'll get, you know? Because it's like, oh, it's almost human. Whereas opposed to, like, Pirates of the Caribbean, it's like, oh, they're just models, you know? They're just...
I see what you mean.
Like, wax figures, but because of that, you kind of empathize with them more instead of just watching the way they're...
Empathize with them more? Because they've got, like, one... movement, like one thing that moves. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Well, you like you let your imagination run with it more, you know, and like.
Do you though? We went on a ride called River Caves at Blackpool.
Oh lord, no, that doesn't count. That does not count.
Some of the animatronics on there, like
they've melted.
It would be like an arm that just moves in one, like a one tiny rotation. It would move, and the whole
man is going like left to right. Wobble.
Oh, no. Oh, that's awful. Not good.
No, it was terrible.
Nah.
It's like, funny, but it was terrible.
No one wobbles like that. That's unrealistic. No.
River Caves does not count.
No, it was not. Yeah, it's not.
Jeez.
But I do wonder with animatronics if they get to a point where they're so focused on making the movement like as dramatic as possible that it almost draws away from you thinking about the character instead of you're like, wow, that's a very impressive animatronic, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I think it does seem that most of the time they're just going for fluidity. They want to make it as fluid and as kind of like seamless as possible.
That's true.
You know?
Yeah.
It is interesting to see where they're going to take that. So what about you in terms of plans? You spoke about you had some plans, brief plans for the future, but is there any big trips, big theme park trips planned for you?
Well, besides, I'm pretty sure I'm going to do Busch Gardens, Williamsburg. I'm going to get over to Knott's within the next couple of weeks because they just opened their raft ride, but it's rethemed, and it looks real nice. I saw it when I was under construction like a week or two ago. I must have just missed the opening by like a week and a half. But the other two rides, the Log Flume at Knott's, Timber Mountain, and the Calico Mine ride, are both, they're like classic dark rides that they rethemed, and they just look terrific now because they updated the lights and, you know, some of the animations, and it's like really nice. And so I'm looking forward to seeing that from the raft ride as well, because
yeah,
it's the
same,
same company. Yeah.
Awesome.
So looking forward to that. I do definitely want to figure out a UK trip in the future for sure.
Please do.
I'm just... Save up for that, but I'm you know, seriously considering it. And then, I mean, there's so many places I want to go, but I should get, you know, to some of the parks that are nearer to me. Like, I haven't ever done any of the Texas parks, even though that's maybe just like a 10-hour drive for me. I haven't done any of, like I said, the East Coast, but I don't have any trips planned right now. I always kind of like just think about a coaster trip for a long time. Like last fall I was thinking like, boy, I should get up to California's Great America and to Six Flags Discovery Kingdom, and I was just thinking about it, and I was like, okay, this weekend I'm going. Like, you know, drove up, got a hotel room and like a Motel 6 or whatever, and did both parks and did the Walt Disney Family Museum in a day, and then did on the way back I did Gilroy Gardens, which has this great mine train called Quicksilver Express. That's one of my It's kind of like a terrain mine coaster. It's really fun. But I don't have any super big trips planned in the future. And I've never done like a kind of enthusiast trip. Like, I know there's some people that are going to Japan this summer, like Sean Flaherty and Ohio Valley Coasters. And
yeah, Mr. Bumblebee is going.
Bumblebee will be listening now.
He might be listening. Yeah. Yeah, no.
Yeah, I would love to go on a trip like that at some point, but it's just a lot of planning ahead, I think. But then there's also a lot of, like, just the pacing of those trips is just insane, where it's just like 3 weeks
park
straight.
Park after park.
It's hardcore.
I don't know how people, like, the Americans, when they did 3 weeks of Europe, I do not understand how they physically got up every day to go to a new theme park and they weren't dead. It's just mental, isn't it?
So why they call them enthusiasts? They're just so enthusiastic about it.
Yeah, apparently so.
Jump around and they don't even need coffee. They're just roller coaster adrenaline is their coffee. Yeah,
exactly. Wow. Well, anyway, we have, just like we had a question to start it, we have one final question to end this episode of the podcast. And that would be, if you had to pick one coaster to be your last ride ever, what would it be?
Probably Magnum XL 200.
Yeah? stick with what you know. If you love it, you enjoy it, why not?
Yeah. No, like, if I go to that park, I always go to that ride first if I'm there in the morning and just do it, like, 3 times in a row because, like, no one else is there. Sit in the back seat. Yeah. Mid row of that last car, tighten the seatbelt, you know, so you don't slam against the lap bar. It's more comfortable that way. But then, like, it has to be like in the morning, you know, like a misty kind of morning where you can just barely start to see the lake. That would be super cool.
Mm. There you go, then. I like that. Yeah, I appreciate how fast you were with that.
Like, hey, if someone's, I mean, you got to know what your last ride would be.
It's true.
Although I hope I never have to decide that.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
But I remember sometimes someone was like, would you rather give up movies or roller coasters for the rest of your life? And, like, I love watching movies as well. But I said, like, oh, I'd rather give up movies, like, easily, for sure. Yeah. Just because, like, I don't know. Yeah, just the roller coasters are just so much fun, and it's such a great environment, such a great place to meet people and explore, you know. It's and it's different every time too, you know, like a little bit always something new to notice or something that's running a little differently. So
this is very true.
Hopefully I never have to give up riding roller coasters.
Yeah. it's all hypothetical.
Exactly.
It's been great having you on. Do you have anything you want to plug, like any social media or obviously your channel as well?
Yeah, so once again, the channel's just 5 Mad Movie Makers, and it's just number 5, and then Mad, like Mad Scientist, and then...
movie as in movie.
No, I'd say the name to people, and they're like, what? They're like, what was that? And it's like one of those names that just got stuck with, you know, at one point, because you're like, what's available when we were kids? My brother Mark and I were like just typing on a computer, just random combinations, but... at least it comes up when you search it on YouTube, which is nice. But I'm also on Twitter. I have a Facebook page. I have a Reddit page. I don't have a Reddit subreddit, you know, but I have an account. Does that count?
Mm-hmm.
As social?
Yeah. That counts.
That does not count.
No.
Go for it. Whatever.
I'm on Discord, but once again, I don't have a page, just an account. So, shoot, that's not something I can plug, is it, really? No, it exists, just so people know.
It exists. Yeah. All right, Zoe, you do ours?
Oh, gosh, I forgot about this. We had this discussion last time. Everybody knows where to find us. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube. Follow us on Twitter for our little tweets that we do to get you involved. And leave us a review if you fancy it on iTunes.
Yeah.
They know what they're doing.
I think I left a review on iTunes, but I need to go double check. Can I leave multiple reviews?
Probably.
I have no idea.
I mean, leave like 10 and then we'll find out.
See what happens. See what makes it through. Why not? Yeah. I mean, thank you for hosting the podcast. It's been super fun to listen to all the episodes. And I should nominate people in the future. You should have Sean Flaherty on if you haven't had him yet.
Yeah.
And he's totally open to it. I was talking to him the other day.
Oh, really?
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I went to Knott's and a Disneyland when he was in town. That's where I met the Imagineer guy, because they were friends from Ace.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, looking forward to the future episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So are we.
Do you edit it all, Zoe?
I do, yeah. It's my little job.
Do you cut out all the silence or all the...
I do, yeah, because Harry does like to pause quite a lot.
Me? I like to pause.
You do.
What?
You actually do.
Oh, no.
Pause for dramatic effect.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. It adds more value to the words that you are saying.
Exactly.
Mm. It's like a roller coaster having straight track, so you anticipate
the next environment. No. Rendered it there. Thank you for listening. We'll see you all next time.